It's Friday!
Yay!
Well, it certainly is. And I'm watching the president right now because Roger Penske is standing by the president in the Oval Office right now, and he's talking. Let's bring this up. Can we bring this up?
Yes, we can.
Let's bring it up real quick.
Got to connect our wires here.
All right. Roger's talking.
With our Indy cars, as you know, we own the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and we are taking that history of over 100 years and the speed and what's taken place there with the different manufacturers and bringing it here to this race will be amazing. Certainly the Freedom 250, when you think about it, it's just a byproduct of what the president has done during this year. And this will be an event, obviously, in August, which will make a huge difference. And we're excited. The areas for people to see. Most of the grounds will be free. So it's going to be an economic benefit to the area, to the city. And obviously, with our Fox partner, Eric Shanks, will be our media partner. And believe me, what they did for us at Indy this past year, they're going to take that and put it on steroids, really, and take it to the next level. So thank you, Mr. President, for allowing us to come into your city.
That's so great, Roger.
Thank you.
Great man. Eric, I'd like to have you say a few words. He's done a fantastic job at Fox, and he's really excited about this, and I know they're going to lay it on the line. Eric, please.
Sure. Well, thank you, Mr. President, for having us here today. Big shout out to Secretary Duffy. This project was kind of on life support until you stepped in recently and got us here today. Secretary Burgum, your team has been absolutely incredible.
Explain how many times you came to Washington trying to do this.
I think Bud came here 81 times.
81 meetings I had in Capitol.
Meeting with senators, meeting with people at the Capitol. And they all wanted it. Everybody wanted it, but they couldn't figure it out. It was crazy. 80 some odd times. That's pretty amazing. So go ahead, please.
All right. So it's done. It's official. It's going to be called the Freedom 250 for America's 250th birthday, August, in Washington, D.C. And you heard it here first as it was happening in the Oval Office with the President of the United States and our own Roger Penske, who owns IndyCar, he owns Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He has done so much for racing and then therefore overall the automobile industry, not just sports, but for overall the automobile industry. I'm just thrilled to see him getting his due and the attention he deserves there in the Oval Office. Isn't that kind of exciting, Mike? I'm glad I was watching.
And he looks great. He sounds great. We're going to have to get him on. That's very exciting.
We'll give him a call, and you know, we just had Bud Denker, his right-hand man, on. Now we're going to get Roger, and we couldn't be more excited for him.
And
man,
that's,
oh, man.
And that's big. That's so it sounds like this 250-year anniversary of the United States is going to go at least into 2 months, probably even more.
Oh, it's all year, aren't we? Aren't we celebrating the 250th anniversary all year long?
Yeah, I just haven't heard of any events outside of the MMA match, the Patriot Games, and this new race in Washington, D.C.
I watched. I kept hearing about a second ball to drop during there's Sean Duffy, our friend Sean Duffy, Transportation Secretary, was just on with us a couple weeks ago.
We knew him when.
We knew him when. I think he's doing a great job. And he still has time to have 9 kids, so go figure. But anyway, there was supposed to be a second ball drop to start the celebration of the 250th anniversary, but I don't remember seeing that. But you have to understand, if 70 is the new 50, 9 o'clock is the new midnight for me.
Right.
I did stay up. I did watch the ball drop, but I don't remember seeing a second ball drop for the 250th anniversary celebration to begin. Did you see it, Mike?
No, I didn't. And okay. I thought you were speaking figuratively, like a second shoe to drop, and I thought maybe it was a...
No, I think they talked about some kind... I may have had it all wrong.
So it'll be like Dick Clark's rockin' 250th year anniversary.
Something like that. I mean, if there's money to be made... They'll make money off of it. But here's breaking news that I thought would be the breaking story. There's been so much made of Lindsey Vonn's comeback to the Olympics, and people are celebrating. It's exciting at her age, et cetera, et cetera. But this just in, a crash on a downhill run by the legendary skier Lindsey Vonn happened this morning. We don't have details, but this story says the crash that happened this morning with Lindsey Vonn may put her status for the Winter Olympics up in the air a week before the games begin.
Yeah, they haven't ruled her out yet, but she's had some knee surgeries. She was seen limping. So hopefully it's just a stinger and she can still compete.
Yeah.
But obviously, anytime somebody has a major surgery like that and they're limping in the area where they had surgery, it's very concerning.
Very concerning.
And that's a shame because obviously she's one of the best Olympic athletes to come out of America. And she was going to be one, you know, this was going to be kind of her farewell tour. And she was going to be one of the big stars out in Italy. So hopefully she can still compete.
I see if I can even figure out who this came from. I was going through and getting rid of emails because I have too many. I have over 230,000 emails. I thought it was 23,000 until one of the guys looked at it and they said, "No, you have 230,000."
Oh, there's an extra zero behind that.
There's that. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing all these. When I went deep down to start to try to get rid of emails, people congratulating me on getting the key to the city that I never saw, and I never thanked them. So I rather than go through all of them, I'm just going to say thank you to everybody who responded that way. It was a wonderful surprise that Mike had put together, Ann Thomas and Mayor Mike Duggan. It was fabulous, and I appreciate it. People bringing me down a level or two, and Dr. Robert Livernoy, from School Talk?
Sure, and hidden in plain sight.
He reminded me that Elmo also had received the key to the city of Detroit.
That's good company.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't knock me down a peg. It elevated me. I'm in there with Elmo. And then a great guy, a great coach, physical education instructor, retired track and cross-country coach at Grosse Pointe South High School. Legendary Coach Steve. I call him Coach Steve Z, Stevie Z, because I think it's Zaranek or Zaranek, and I can't remember, but Coach Steve Zaranek or Zaranek, great guy. Coach Sophie, I used to go to the track and cross-country practices and watch her. He had sent a note, "Congratulations on your Key to the City Award from Mayor Duggan. Well-earned, well-deserved. Here's to many more years at WJR. I love your focus program. I certainly hope Sophie is doing well, and I'm sure she's out there changing the world for the better, Coach Steve." God bless you. I can't believe I never responded because I never saw it. You know, it puts a little mark next to it if you have opened it. I never opened that. I never saw it.
Well, now you got plans for the weekend.
Thank yous and checking email.
Yeah.
You know, I got rid of what it feels like hundreds of thousands of email, and I'm still at 95% full.
I'm an email hoarder because I feel like as soon as I delete an email, You're going to need it. Right. I'm going to need a phone number or a contact or something.
You still have your Pokemon cards?
Unfortunately, I never played Pokemon. I do have my baseball cards.
You collected baseball cards, but not Pokemon. Well, I got a long story about Pokemon cards I'll get to, but who knew this? One is bid up to online $6.5 million.
Wow. So while I was...
This isn't like stuff from 50 years ago. This is like 25, 30 years ago.
Right. So while I was wasting my time in school, I should have been collecting Pokemon cards.
Is it holographic?
I don't know. I don't think we had holograms 30 years ago for Pokemon cards.
No. For Pokemon cards, the most expensive ones were holographic ones. It doesn't mean they're like holograms. It's like got the shiny stuff behind the character.
I feel like Danielle might be leaving us soon. I think she's got some in her closet.
Have you found some in the closet?
No, but I know about them. I've heard lore about them.
Logan Paul, that crazy guy who boxes and does, I don't know, he's online. He's a superstar online, I guess. He paid over $5 million for one of them, and I think that's the one that's bid up to $6.5 million right now. I don't know.
Wow. What do you even do with a card that expensive?
Well, he was wearing it around his neck.
Might as well.
I guess it was a gaudy bling is right. What it was. Is what it was. All right, we've got a lot to talk about today. There is a lot going on, and we're smack dab in the middle of it. I don't know if the president is still speaking from the Oval Office with Roger Penske or not. It's gone away on my screen from Fox. So I'm glad we got that, and we got it to you as it was happening, as we try to do. Focus with Paul W. Smith right here on WJR with Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. The team, the team, the team with Relentless Positive Radio while you're streaming us, podcasting us at WJR.com or you're using the free WJR app on your way to making each and every day count, because you know, too, that each day is a gift. And don't forget the QTR, quality time remaining, that we don't know how much we have. So live each day to its fullest. We're going to continue to do that with you up next in Focus. Well, we were just lamenting off air, but we share everything with you pretty much. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, and I talking about the astonishing amount of news that has happened in the last half hour. Before we even came on the air, there's just so many things that are happening. I don't know what's happening on the latest funding deal to keep the government from closing again. And they apparently agreed on everything yesterday, but they hadn't voted. So I don't know if they voted today yet or not. But Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, is here. Jason, always a pleasure having you here. And the latest on the funding deal, as the Senate was facing an impasse in negotiations. I am told that maybe, I don't know, have they voted? Have they done that yet? Do we have any idea right now at 12:20 where we stand?
Well, I do, so I guess you will.
Whee!
So they did have a deal, and then at the last minute, Lindsey Graham objected to the House version, which stripped out a financial penalty. There was legislation that was slipped into a previous bill that would allow the senators and House members whose phone records were seized by the Department of Justice. It would allow them to sue the federal government and receive hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages for that. The House version, which made its way over to the Senate this week, stripped that provision out. And I think there were senators, frankly, in both parties that were appalled that the thing even existed to begin with. And Lindsey Graham is the one person holding it up in the Senate. I need to mention, by the way, that the House got all 12 appropriations bills through, and I can't even remember the last time that that's happened. We call that regular order. Normally, you'll remember, we usually have an omnibus where they bundle together several of the appropriations bills into one bill and try to pass them that way. But the fact that Speaker Johnson, with this tiny, tiny majority, was able to get all 12 spending bills through is really remarkable. So where they are right now is there's still negotiations. The House Republicans were supposed to have a conference call at 11 o'clock this morning. That got pushed to 4:30 because I think the Senate's trying to work out what they have going on. The Rules Committee is supposed to meet on Sunday. As of yesterday, they were going to vote on these bills Sunday night, so Congress was going to have to come back on Sunday. Within the last half hour, I heard they're now expecting votes to be on Monday. So there will be a couple agencies shut down for a couple hours, but nothing that anybody's going to feel.
This is crazy. This is ridiculous. It's unacceptable. I've said it so many times, it doesn't even matter anymore that I say it. But this is the basic fundamental part of their job, is to make sure they have the power to continue to help us by running the government. And they keep losing that by having to shut it down. I don't care if they shut it down for 5 minutes, they're shutting it down. It's unacceptable.
Well, it is. It's the minimum that we should expect. And the budget process has gotten so complicated. And then one thing that will continue on this that they stripped out is the Department of Homeland Security funding bill. So that will not be included. But they are doing a 2-week continuing resolution to keep it funded while they continue to negotiate over ICE. And so Democrats want to require ICE to stop wearing masks and to use body cams. Republicans will go for the body cams, but they're not going to go for the masks. And then there will probably be a fight over the ICE budget and what's going on there. So everything but DHS should be taken care of by Monday. But, you know, it's going to be a wild ride over the DHS funding bill over the following 2 weeks.
Well, but things are happening. There are changes. The president has made moves that he doesn't generally make, but he's made moves and he's made changes. And isn't it interesting, just as a note, it's not an overall problem with ICE. ICE is in many different states, many different communities. We never hear about anything that they're doing or any problems because they have no trouble at all in cooperating cities. Have you noticed that? I mean, Jason, ICE isn't having battles and troubles in every city. Only these sanctuary cities and people who are clearly hired with beautifully made signs being unloaded from pickup trucks mysteriously and all the rest of it that are the ones that are causing trouble to cause trouble. It's just ridiculous.
Well, and, you know, when you have the governor and the mayor right out of the gate saying we are prohibiting our local law enforcement officials from cooperating with federal immigration officials, which then necessitated the Fed sending even more. And then not only do you have them saying law enforcement's not going to cooperate, but then encouraging protests and harassment of the federal officials. We could have figured out it was going to inevitably lead to some form of violence, and we've seen that, and it's unfortunate. Two deaths have resulted in this, but it's a lack of, I think, leadership for the people in the state. They were virtue signaling and politically posturing. And the Trump administration, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They were inciting him to overreact to the situation as well. And I think any of us rationally would have, assumed that this would be the inevitable conclusion. I'm hoping that Homan can lower the temperature. I thought his press conference was great. I think his words and tone have been excellent. But, you know, now you have Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, walking back from what Homan had felt was some agreements that they had. But it's, you know, until the state and local officials cooperate, you're not going to see the drawdown of federal officials, and the stuff's going to continue.
And we have proof. In other cities and states where there is cooperation, there's no problem. And the mayor and the governor have, as you pointed out, Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, fought this from the beginning and frankly probably are using this as a diversion away from the billions of dollars that got diverted away from where they were supposed to be headed. And that investigation is not going away. That is going to continue. No matter how bad things become in Minneapolis, but now there have been moves to make things better. And, if the governor lives up to his words, where, yes, we'll give you these people that we have that are lawbreakers that are here illegally, and, you know, don't keep saying that on the ground the people who are just drinking the Kool-Aid saying, well, these people haven't done anything wrong. Well, if they're here illegally, that's wrong. And this isn't against immigration. Most of us come from immigrants. It's against illegal immigration. And why they understood that when Barack Obama was doing it, when Bill Clinton was doing it, I don't know. But they won't understand it while this president is doing it. Now, mind you, It's a whole different approach. I'm not going to get into different approaches and what works and what doesn't work, but the bottom line is pretty much the same. People who are here illegally, going back even to Clinton, I mean, we can't be supporting illegals, people who are benefiting from our laws and our tax dollars that are not here legally and therefore legally contributing. I mean, who would expect that? Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, thanks for weighing in. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul. Go green. Beat Michigan.
Oh man, I didn't see that coming. All right, you can say go green. I'm one of the fair Michigan fans, graduates, who say go green, go blue. But I kind of say go blue a little stronger when it's Michigan versus Michigan State, and you can understand why, and I understand why you said what you said, Jason. But
yeah, and I'm a Western Michigan grad, but I grew up in East Lansing.
Well, then why didn't you say go Broncos, for God's sakes?
Because I'm the Broncos aren't playing tonight, and no one cares.
Well, a lot of my family members went to Western Michigan, and they always care.
Jason would never say fire up chips, though. I know that.
Would you never say that, Jason?
Those words have never passed my lips. Maybe if they make it to a bowl game someday.
Why do you not?
Well, that's Western's rival. That's Western's big rival.
Sorry. I got lost in all of that. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, of course he would never say fire up chips. You got me confused there, Michael. We're closing out this segment, and I promise you Jason will not be punished. He will be back on the show at least once in the next 5 to 10 years. Thank you so much. 12:29 at WJR. Yeah, that's a big game tonight on 760 WJR, MSU versus U of M. Steve Dolan, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief, weighs in with lots of information based on his own personal experience and observations. The news media, including the paper put in front of me, which I do not accept, says President Trump and Tom Homan give conflicting answers on ICE withdrawal. No, they don't, but you can make it look that way based on your own biases. So I don't accept that. Let's go to Steve Dolan. Hello, Steve. How are you?
Cold. How are you?
I'm just fine.
You're inside. That's right. Okay.
You should be inside, too. We keep our country safe. We'll do whatever we can to keep our country safe, is what the president said. So a reporter yelled out, so you're not pulling back? No, not at all. Well, what he said is, no, they're not pulling back. They're going to continue to keep our country safe. That doesn't mean he said at that moment that they're pulling all the troops out. That's not at all what he said, but the biased media are using that. But if you talk to or listen to Tom Homan, he's just saying they're there to fix operations. They understand there are some problems. Nobody can say they're perfect. Nothing is perfect. And they're going to continue to do their job. And I just want to point out once again, Steve, I'll point it out several times. ICE is not necessarily the overriding problem. Now, I would not have put ICE in there looking like stormtroopers. But if you notice that there's no trouble in cooperating cities, sanctuary cities are where the trouble is, cities where the governor and the mayor say right from the beginning, get the hell out of our town, that's where there's trouble.
Sure. Like you said, it's kind of why they look like stormtroopers. But I said this yesterday, I'll take off my mask if you make it against the law for protesters to wear masks.
It's one of my notes I've written down here because we got a guy in Michigan who's saying, they should not wear masks, a city councilman banning masks on police. How about banning masks on masked protesters, you moron?
Yep.
I'm glad
and
I got doxing. That off my chest.
No, that's fine. Usually I'm yelling. Anyway, doxing should be illegal. And these House bills are trying to pass, what they're forgetting is this. The Federal Supremacy Clause says state law does not supersede federal law. So then it goes back to the Trump-Slotkin argument. Can you make me do an illegal order? Because if I go and try to lock up a federal agent, I mean, seriously, you think Bouchard or Wickersham or Washington or Bettison are going to send police officers to lock up federal agents? Who's going to enforce that? Seriously. Yeah. I mean, give me a break. Extract your head from your rear end and think about that for a second. Sorry. Now we're even.
All right. Well.
Okay.
I wish we were even and could call it quits and call it a day, but there's still so much more to talk about, including federal immigration officials yesterday denying the Washtenaw County Sheriff's claims that the arrests of four people who were in the country illegally happened at a bus stop near an Ypsilanti school while classes were letting out and the mother was taken into custody in front of her child. We had the Washtenaw County Sheriff, Alicia Dyer, basically reposting, I guess, allegedly reposting something she saw online as if that would be, I mean, we all know by now that things we see online are not necessarily true.
And again, that goes back to misinformation, trying to get out in front of things. It happened when Charlie Kirk was shot, when Patel was told, we got the guy in custody, you know, some white dude in a ponytail. We had it when the officer fired six shots at that woman in the car. And Bettison came out right away and said, oh, no, we're charging her. The next day said, oh, no, we're charging the officer. Here she goes, yeah, it happened. Oh, I guess not. So get your facts straight. I mean,
everybody talks too soon.
Absolutely.
Everybody on all sides talk before they should talk. And the only ones I can hold accountable and responsible are the people who are called the officials, the elected officials, the people who are in positions of authority really should know better.
They should, but when I was on the job, Craig would call me, you know, several times. Hey, I heard this happen. I go, let me look into it first before you say anything. And he go, oh, thanks, I appreciate that. After I told him what really happened, he's like, oh, so you don't know where they got the information. But people are trying to get out in front of everything. And again, I was guilty of it with the, we talked about this last week, the Uvalde shooting, and the officer holding a phone in his hand. And I was guilty of it. Remember that?
Yeah.
And I said, he shouldn't be on the phone, but his wife was saying, please come get me. They're going to kill me. It's a shame on me. But you got to own it, and some people don't own it, whether it's the government or anything else. Yeah, yeah, it's you're right. The official needs to be held accountable. That's why they can pay the big bucks, right?
Well,
I mean, no, seriously.
I mean, it is why they it is why they have the positions they have.
You mean like, yeah, and they have a PIO, public information officer, who's supposed to make sure everything you say is right.
Wait, say that again. Say
you have a PIO, a public information officer, who's supposed to tell you that everything's right before you go make a statement.
Oh, I see. I see. Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And clearly, Noam didn't have that, and too many other people that have been speaking up didn't have that. And if they would just pause and say, this is all brand new, everything's under investigation, I'll have a comment after we have some facts, then they wouldn't get into this trouble.
Facts? What a crazy
concept.
It's
pretty simple.
Golly. It's the government.
Steve, why aren't we running the world? I don't get it.
We have a brain.
Well, that might be a part of it.
That could be it, because we're actually, no, seriously, because we're rational.
I think we're rational. Have a great weekend, Steve. Thanks for your help, always.
Try to stay warm. Take care.
Oh, easy peasy. Stay inside. Retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief Steve Dolent. Always like to hear what Steve has on his mind because he's not afraid to speak his mind. Here in Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. You still have a New Year's resolution. You are unusual, but God bless you for that. I have you in the highest, I hold you in the highest esteem. I stopped doing them because all it did was set me up for failure, and a lot of people stopped doing them, and a lot of people who did them again this year don't have them. But look, if you are sick and tired of waking up every day and going to bed every night in pain, you're going to do anything to promise yourself you're going to get better. Well, take it from me. I want you to make that call to Dr. Sol Kogan at the Nerve and Disc Institute. Ask about his all-natural, non-surgical, non-invasive intra-disc neutrosis treatment for chronic back and neck pain. Well, take Bob, for example. Bob did this. Now, he had been masking his bulging disc pain with epidurals, all kinds of stuff. He was told he needed surgery, like so many people are told. But you see, Bob now has no pain, even when he's on his feet 8 hours straight at work, because he called the Nerve and Disc Institute. And I tell you from my personal experience, from Kim's personal experience, those of us who have experienced Dr. Saul Kogan and the Nerve and Disc Institute realize why and how they've helped thousands of people with sciatica, spinal stenosis, neuropathy, bulging, degenerative, and herniated discs avoid spine surgery and are now using the Knee Restore RX treatment to help people avoid knee replacement surgery without shots, pills, or downtime. And the first 50 people who call them now here in January will get 50% off their treatment plan. 50% off. But call them today. The Nerve and Disc Institute in Farmington, Clinton Township, Grand Blanc, and now Bad Axe. Bad to the bone. Do it today. You'll love the team, the team, the team at the Nerve and Disc Institute. Farmington, Clinton Township, Grand Blanc, and Bad Axe. 586-416-DISC, 586-416-DISC. Or if you like the numbers, 586-416-3472. 586-416-3472. Dr. Saul Kogan and the Nerve and Disc Institute, ready to help you. Mention WJR. Save 50%. It's 1245 with Paul WJR. It just occurs to me, maybe if the president had LifeLock Ultimate, he wouldn't have found himself in this predicament where people were releasing his IRS forms. So anyway, Todd Flood is here. God bless Todd Flood. All-around good guy, managing partner, founder of Flood Law, PLLC, and of course host of Behind the Bench with Todd Flood right here on WJR, as we find that the president is suing the IRS and the Treasury Department for $10 billion, alleging they failed to take necessary steps to prevent a former IRS employee from improperly disclosing his tax returns and those of his sons and his company to news outlets. Well, first of all, they say he's doing this in a personal capacity, not as president. I don't know, Todd. I think it's very hard for a president to do anything and claim they're not doing it as president when they are president. But I'll leave that up to you, Todd. Nice to have you here.
Paul W., I love you. Yes, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. This is the first time, I think, in history a president, while sitting in office, has sued the government, the United States, the agency for which he controls. So it's an interesting, you know, case. $10 billion grabs the headlines, that's for sure. Here's the catcher. He has a real grievance, but there's no remedy. You know, the United States has sovereign immunity. You can't sue the United States. Who's going to defend this case? It's conflict of interest. I mean, it's his agency for who controls it to be the Department of Justice. Obviously, the settlement is weird. How would that ever happen? But go back in time. There's a statute. This guy Longfellow is in prison for leaking these documents. He leaked over, I think it was 700 people, you know, their IRS tax forms, for which he now sits in the prison system for 5 years and doing it. But there's no real remedy. I think that the statute calls for a $1,000 fine potentially for each person released. I mean, $10 billion, it obviously is not covering it. But it triggers a lot of things. It triggers conflicts of interest. How it's prosecuted on a civil side. It triggers, the defense of sovereign immunity. The United States being kicked out, you know, kicking the plaintiff out of court before Jump Street on what we call a motion of 12B6, failure to state a legal claim. So it definitely sets a tone. The fact of the matter is, as I said, there's a legitimate legal grievance, but there's no remedy.
And you want to know something else it triggers, which is why it's sometimes best to just be quiet about these things. I'd forgotten all about this. It was a big deal when it first happened and the guy went to jail, blah, blah, blah. But now this has triggered my interest in looking up the details, especially on Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump's tax reform. I didn't care. Who cares? But now it's making me think, well, I should at least look to see what they said.
Yeah, well, it illuminates, puts a searchlight around it for something that was, you know, dead in the news and not really out there as something that people were interested in. And now all of a sudden it sparked it, you know, be careful for a slow news day. I mean, obviously people now might look into it. I'm not going to waste my time, but it's true that it does illuminate it.
It does. It draws a hot spotlight to something that didn't have a spotlight on it.
Right.
So I don't really understand. It must have been. I can't imagine it was a slow day, and the president just decided to jump in with both feet. But you're right. It's a real legitimate problem. But there is nothing can fix this. He's not going to get a $10 billion settlement. And if he did, it's from suing the United States, which he can't collect on. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make sense other than putting a hot spotlight on something most of us weren't even thinking about. So we'll see.
What's the ulterior motive? I just don't know what it is. Counsel knows. The lawyers know that this is not going to be a winner financially. But what's the motive? We never really know. I don't know the agenda. There's something here that doesn't meet the eye right now. But at the end of all of it, it raises a question. What do they bring out special counsel to defend it? I mean, it's his own agency that he controls that has to defend the lawsuit. So that in and of itself is interesting.
Well, this also means, since they make it very clear, he's doing this personally as a person, not as the president. He's got to pay for all this. Why in the world would he want to pay for all this?
True. I don't know. These are bigger questions, but from a legal standpoint, the case does not. Where does it go? I mean, I can imagine if I had to defend the United States of America right now and the Department of Treasury and these individuals, I would file my first motion right out of Jump Street without answering the complaint. I would file it with a motion to kick it out on a 12B6 motion saying you failed to state a claim. But, you know, he could be playing chess and you and I could be playing checkers. I don't know. There's something here more that
it happens. That happens often with him where we don't see it in advance. And then all of a sudden we go, oh, now I get it. But I don't know where it is here. So we're still at that. I don't get it. And I'll finish with what I said, tongue in cheek, but still I'm going to say it. If he had LifeLock Ultimate, this wouldn't have happened to him.
God bless you, my friend. Yes, probably.
All right, Todd. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure talking with you. You got a big weekend planned?
No, I'm doing a little work. I settled a case for a young lady out in Arizona. I'm going to meet her and give her her last financial installment. And it was a tough road. But we got an insanely amazing result and victory for her. She was assaulted in Michigan. We garnered her $33 million for the assault that she had to endure. And I'm just going out there to put my arms around her and break bread right now and come home.
Well, good for you. You do good work, and we appreciate the work you do for us, Todd. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul W. Be well.
Todd Flood, managing partner of Flood Law, founder of Flood Law, PLLC, and host of Behind the Bench with Todd Flood, right here on WJR. Hour number two, coming up next. Stay with us on WJR. Welcome into hour number two with the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski. You can be watching us soon on camera. We'll let you know when that happens. I think it's within a couple of weeks. But you can stream our audio. You can, of course, listen to 760 on the AM dial. You can go back and listen on a podcast. If you can't be here noon to 2 Monday through Friday like we are, we'd love for you to be sure to get the podcast at WJR.com and the free WJR app. And we'll promise you this. We never take you for granted, and we have relentless positive radio while you're on your way to making each and every day count, knowing that each day is a gift. What we don't know for sure is QTR, quality time remaining. As Kim reminds us, we just don't know. So let's live every day to the fullest. And I thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. And I heard a nice shout out on Sports Wrap with Anthony Bellino last night. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, AB, for always giving us credit for some of these lines. It is National Croissant Day. You like croissants?
I do. One of my favorite breakfast sandwiches is the Burger King croissantwich. So I do like a little croissant.
I bet that's good.
It's really good.
Danielle, anything about croissants? Do you like them? I don't see them very often, but I don't get to the fast food places very much. But
I do like a croissant, and the best one, I'll tell you right now, that you can get in bulk instead of going to a bakery. Those are obviously the best. The second best is a Costco croissant.
You know, I got to tell you, shame on me for not buying the stock. I fell into love with Costco what seems like 100 years ago because everything they do is good and done well. And I remember reading many years ago that they treated their employees well, too.
Oh, they do.
I hope that's still the case.
They do. My mom's best friend works there. And she's having a good time.
That stock was staring us in the face. I don't know what it sells for now. I'm sure it's out of reach, but it was cheap when it started. And you walk in and you go, this is a great place. So somebody told me that many years ago, a very well-known guy whose name, of course, I can't remember. He said, Paul, you're going to see things before Wall Street sees them, just in your everyday living. And that was Costco was a perfect example. Just by going there and shopping, I knew it was a fabulous concept and a great idea. But I wasn't smart enough. I probably didn't have any money. But anyway, so the Costco croissants get the thumbs up from Danielle Mason.
Yes, they do. And they're very, very, very good with their chicken salad.
They've got very good chicken salad.
Yes, they do.
Don't they? Kim just brought some home the other day. Kim shops at Walmart. Mm. I don't remember the last time I set foot in Walmart because I've seen too many videos of Walmartians, and they scare me.
Are
some very odd-looking people.
So, like, the people of Walmart.com?
I've seen them. I don't know. They just come up on my screen. I don't go looking for them.
Walmartians.
But people wear outfits there that you'd say, well, do they have no mirrors in their house?
Right. Yeah, they all wear, like, pajama pants and, like, ripped-up T-shirts.
With their butt crack hanging out.
Right.
It's just, like, I'm afraid to go.
Walmart. I've never heard them being called Walmartians, though.
I'm afraid to go in. You haven't heard the term Walmartians?
No, that's new.
There it is. Kim does go there, and they might have good chicken salad, too. I can't tell you which, you know, the chicken salad in the refrigerators from Walmart's or from Costco. I can't even tell you.
Yeah, but I feel like those big warehouse stores, everything that they do in-house is good. Like, of course, everyone loves the, $1.50 hot dog.
Oh, the best combo in the world, other than being at a Tigers game.
Right.
That's about it.
And that's
because of the ambiance.
Right, and I think they said that, they're going to do everything they can to never raise the price on that now.
The CEO said, if I ever raise the price on that, I'd be assassinated.
Yeah.
Half kidding. But they really are good. It's a deal. Hot dog and a Coke
It's a quarter-pound hot dog, so
they
it's
have
so
these,
good.
They have these things. I don't know if they're sponsored by Costco, but essentially, it's a drink holder and a thing to lay your hot dog.
Ooh.
And the guy is clearly in Costco, but it just clips onto the buggy.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh, I don't want to see a bunch of people walking around eating hot dogs.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That's brilliant.
I don't want to touch a package that I'm reaching for off the shelf and get ketchup on my hands.
I want that.
Or mustard, which would be more realistic, mustard. But I don't know.
And then you got the Costco cakes and their frosting.
Brooklyn brand is a great brand. Wear their, this isn't one that I'm wearing now, but I generally wear their 100% cotton white shirts, button-down shirts, part of my uniform.
Yeah.
And I bought so many of them so long ago, I don't know what they're selling for now. But at one time, I was paying $17.99 or something like that. And they're just great. They also, stains wipe off real good, real quick. Anyway, we got to catch up here. The 2026 Westminster Dog Show is it underway right now?
I don't know.
Oh, it begins Saturday.
Okay.
At 7:30 in the morning. And Kim said, I'll be sure to set the alarm, honey. She was kidding, of course. I'm not getting up at 7:30 in the morning anymore for a dog show or virtually anything else. But so there's that.
It'll be going on all day.
Don Lemon arrested by federal authorities. That'll be interesting. Hunter Biden, what a jerk he is. He's in court suggesting he shouldn't have to pay child support for the baby he had. I think he had this baby with his brother's wife. His brother dies, and he then goes and starts sleeping with his brother's wife, has a baby with her. I think this is the story. And he's going into court saying he's not obligated to talk to his daughter or have anything to do with her life. What a piece of crap he is.
And this is the one they tried to keep a secret, right?
Yeah, the grandparents, you know, the president and his wife, ignored her. They never even included her in their
I forgot he was naming off his grandkids. They didn't name that one off. I mean, what does that do to a person as they're growing up?
Well, I think it's I think it's disgusting. Let me look at some of these stories you gave us. There's an Uber Eats commercial. Wings Patrick Kane breaks career points record for U.S. born player. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Detroit crews responding to nearly 60 water main breaks this week.
Yeah. I mean,
yikes. In the coldest weather still to come, isn't it?
I feel like we've moved to like the Arctic Circle. I feel like Trump doesn't need to go to Greenland anymore because it came to us.
Yeah. It's colder here than it is probably in the Arctic Circle. I don't know.
I know there's been some days where it's been colder here than in Alaska. I mean, there's a lot of Alaska.
Yeah,
but
we've certainly heard that. Saudi-Israeli officials visit D.C. to talk possible U.S. strikes on Iran. Well, there goes the element of surprise.
Yeah, for real.
A man impersonating an FBI agent tried to get Luigi Mangione out of jail. Well, I will never understand. This will be studied in psychology courses forever. The allure of a murderer who they just said now can't be faced the death penalty for flat out walking up behind somebody and murdering them. They can't get the death penalty for something like that? It's on video.
I was surprised to see that. I don't know why what their justification was, but I thought there was no way the death penalty was going to be taken off the table.
I hope they can put it back on. Who's the Detroit councilman wants to ban a council member? Oh, council member at large Mary Waters wants to stop law enforcement officers from wearing masks in Detroit. Okay, I'm sorry, councilwoman at large Mary Waters, get a life. If you're going to make a statement like that, you better say it's illegal for the protesters to wear masks as well. Don't be so obvious in taking sides. That's embarrassing.
I mean,
council member at large.
I agree with her. I don't think law enforcement should be wearing masks. I think you should be able to see their faces and easily identify them.
What about the protesters? Man, you're working yourself off a cliff today. You take one day off and you come back and
you're on a
cliff.
What are you talking about? I'm working myself off a cliff.
What are you saying here?
Law enforcement officers should not be wearing masks.
What about the protesters?
What about the protesters?
Why should they get to wear masks?
I mean, they shouldn't, but
well, then say that and it makes it okay.
Okay, I guess if it makes it okay, Paul, the protesters shouldn't wear masks either, but neither should law enforcement.
Well, then people shouldn't be going after law enforcement. It should be illegal to dox them. It should be illegal to put out their home address and put their families in danger.
I agree.
Those are the things that you have to say along with that. You can't just say,
well,
they
I'm sorry
can't wear
I didn't
masks.
Say everything you thought I should have said, but they should not be wearing masks.
Oh, I see. I see. You're a little feisty this afternoon.
Well, I don't
You're
know,
sorry
Paul.
Sorry you didn't say everything I thought you should say.
Yeah, that's
so then you go and stand with the councilwoman at large who is just saying law enforcement officers shouldn't wear masks.
They should be easily
should they
identifiable.
Be able to wear bulletproof vests?
Of course they should.
I see. Okay. Should the protesters be able to wear bulletproof vests?
No, they shouldn't.
Okay, good. Well, I just wanted to be sure I understood exactly where you stand, and now I know. 115 WJR. All righty, 118 at 760 WJR. That's a lot of news just coming in. We started off with Roger Penske live from the Oval Office, which was well worth going back to and listening. If you go to our podcast at WJR.com, which I hope you do every day that you can't be here noon to two when we're here. And I hope you've downloaded the free WJR app. But here's this news coming in. I'm just trying to open up my phone so I have something here that Mike sent to me. Unbelievable, really. This is 71 is young anymore, don't you think? But Catherine O'Hara, famous for her work in Schitt's Creek, Home Alone, and Best in Show, has died. This coming to us from TMZ. The legendary Hollywood actress died Friday, of course, from two sources with direct knowledge telling TMZ. The cause of death unclear. Catherine famously played Macaulay Culkin's mother in the first two Home Alone movies. And she appeared as Moira Rose in 80 episodes of Schitt's Creek. You know her. If you see her, you'll know her. You know the name. Sorry to say that she has apparently passed away at the age of just 71. Further information as it becomes available. President Trump said today he is nominating Kevin Warsh to be the 17th chair of the Federal Reserve. And WJR's Marie Osborne reports Warsh brings experience with the Fed to his new job. Our Director of Community Affairs and News, Marie Osborne, good afternoon.
Hi there, Paul. So Kevin Warsh served as Fed governor for 5 years under former President George W. Bush. He was appointed to the Fed in 2006 at the age of just 35. He was the youngest person ever to serve on the Fed's powerful board. He's now 55, and he's recently shifted his stance on monetary policy. He used to be an inflation hawk, what they call an inflation hawk. He now favors lower interest rates, and this is according to a lot of his recent public statements. President Trump has repeatedly voiced a lot of frustration with the current chair, Jerome Powell, for keeping borrowing costs elevated. Interest rates now sit between 3.5, 3.75%. The president really says that he'd like them slashed to 1%. Now, if confirmed by the Senate, he'll take over the role from the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, who, again, President Trump has recently criticized. He will take over that role in the coming months. Some Republican lawmakers, though, have warned the White House about choosing anybody who appears to have any close ties to the administration. I'm not sure if that's really clear here with Kevin Warsh, but again, he is the pick by the president to take over that job. Very important job, we might add.
Yeah, and the people in the know, which would not include me, say, like, here's a quote from David Bahnsen, chief investment officer of the Bahnsen Group, said on CNBC's Squawk Box, that this gentleman has the respect and credibility of the financial markets. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that one of the first things people think about, maybe worry about, is how he will be influenced by the president, because the initial reaction is, the president likes to call the shots, and we've already seen how he has reacted to Powell for not responding to the president telling him what to do. And it's a good idea not to have someone in charge of the Federal Reserve that will do everything that a president tells them to do. Don't you think that's what most people would say?
Yeah. Do you remember that heated exchange? I don't remember where they were. They were touring someplace, the president and Jerome Powell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. And the president just, you know, really had Adam publicly there in front of all the cameras, you know, about the, and you could just see Jerome Powell. I mean, he kept it together and, you know, he responded decisively back to the president. But I thought to myself, boy, that guy really has his big boy pants on today, because that's a tough position to be in right there.
Well, and I respected him because the president was saying, it was kind of ridiculous, he was saying, well, you guys went over budget by X number of dollars on the remodeling of your offices or whatever. And I'm thinking, what? And, you know, with all due respect, Mr. President, you're the guy who told us you were going to make add an addition to the White House for a ballroom that was going to cost $200 million. It's already well past $400 million. Seriously? You're going to tell some other guy that he spent too much money on the remodeling of his offices?
Yeah,
I mean, I understand one's paid for by the government, the other one's paid for by private
that's
money.
What I was gonna say.
But he knows as a real estate guy that these things happen. And I will say what you're talking about. Powell stood there and said, no, that's not true. That wasn't in this budget. Nope, you're wrong. And I I thought, wow, you're right. He had his big boy pants on.
Right. Yep.
But then the president actively tried to get rid of him. And it should be pointed out, by the way, he's not getting rid of him. From what I understand, his term is coming up.
Yeah, his term ends. Yeah, his term is ending. So it's all fair. Can we just talk for a second about Catherine O'Hara?
Yes, unbelievable.
I'm so sad
71.
About that.
Yeah, I just found out too.
Yeah. Rich Lozinski always tells me that I remind him of her.
Really?
Yes, he
is
does.
Rich anywhere nearby? Can Rich get to a microphone? Our beautiful WJR traffic and weather first guy. I know he's always all over the place in his own little booth. But I'd love to hear Rich's thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, he always, in fact, often I'll send him a text about this or that, and I'll add a picture of Catherine O'Hara.
Had you heard anything?
As Moira, I should say. Huh?
Moira,
as Moira.
Had you heard anything at all about
no,
it?
And
no,
and you know, I was searching as you were talking, and I, you know, it still hasn't popped other than TMZ reporting this, so... I don't know why she died or what happened here. So,
isn't it interesting, by the way, as a side note, how spot on TMZ has become?
I know.
Almost, I don't want to say frightening, but it is kind of surprising that an organization that started off with like just a bunch of rumors and, you know, attention grabbing clickbait, blah, blah, blah. And they are on top of many stories that then later show up, like in the New York Times.
Right, and they're quoting two sources on this story. You know, things like this have been wrong before. People reported dead, and then they're not. And, you know, then that whole embarrassing thing, they have to come out and say, excuse me, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
But they are quoting two sources here in this particular case. And they're just not, they don't have a cause or what happened. I'm sure, obviously, we'll find out.
Another note, and you didn't know I'm going to ask you this, so if you don't have an answer, that's okay. Is there anything in Detroit that we're aware of that shows people in great numbers are joining the national anti-ICE strike today? It's supposedly today and tomorrow. No work, no school, no shopping. I'm not sure who that helps. Doesn't help the students. Doesn't help business owners that need their employees there. Doesn't help stores when you say no shopping. So I'm not sure who they're helping with that. But is there anything going on that you're aware of in Detroit right now?
I do know that the word has gone out for, you know, people to show up for that. But I haven't seen any word yet on the particular gatherings or not. But, you know, Paul, you know, it must be said, as with any kind of social protest like this, I mean, you could have said the same thing about the bus boycott, you know, back in the 60s, all these people then having to walk to their jobs and so forth. You know, a lot of times it's just the group, it's just the action of a group together showing how they feel about something that makes the impact. So, you know, yeah, we know it hurts business. We know it hurts schools, but sometimes people think this is the only way they can, you know, show their displeasure in one thing or another.
Fascinating. I point out that was pointed out to me, ICE is all over the place in many cities and states, but it's not like in Minneapolis, because in those other cities and states, there's no trouble because there's cooperation. And in Minneapolis, from the beginning, there was trouble because there was no cooperation. The sanctuary cities, and they made it very clear they weren't going to help. So... It's a mess, and both sides speak too soon when something terrible happens before they even know all the facts. Both sides do that and are responsible for that. Anyway, did you ever have Pokemon cards for your kids?
My boys did, yes, when they were growing up. Yep.
Mama, go looking for them, because some of them, one guy was selling his Pokemon card collection for $1.5 million, which I thought was incredible. And then I saw Logan Paul, that crazy boxer, whatever he is, paid over $5 million for one Pokemon card. And now it's up for bid or auction, and it's at about $6.5
million. Wow.
$5 million up to $6.5 million in a few days, I think. And a lot of us had those cards around for our kids.
I know. I know. Well, it's like those baseball cards. Gotta watch.
Gotta look. Gotta see. All right. Thank you much, Lee. Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs. Okay. She is the Director of Community Affairs and News here at WJR. What a thrill. I'm actually nervous, but excited about welcoming my next guest. He is the new CEO of Stellantis, Antonio Filosa. Up next with Paul W. Smith in Focus right here on WJR. God bless my hero, Dick Hafner, who you still hear on WJR. We miss him every day as the news director, but he heard us talking about, why didn't I buy Costco stock? Why didn't all of us buy? Maybe you did buy Costco stock way back when. He bought it at 60. And just recently, he thought it was high when he bought it, but he bought it and just sold it to take his profits. And I know that, I don't know what it's selling for now, but I think it's hundreds of dollars. God bless you, Dick Hafner. We appreciate you always. We appreciate our next guest. I have not had a chance to really have a conversation with a leader of Stellantis since my dear friend, the late Sergio Marchionne. And he said, say Marchionne from his Canadian time that when he spent in Canada. We had a great friendship and a great relationship, but have lost contact with the company until now. A man who has reached out and made it clear that he wants to communicate because he knows his dealers are listening, as are his potential customers. The new CEO of Stellantis, Antonio Filosa. Mr. Filosa, I'm Paul W. Smith. It is my pleasure and privilege to welcome you to the show and hope you'll come back often.
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's my pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, you're taking over a company that needed to have a new leader. I'm here to tell you that I get to talk to a lot of your dealers, and every one of them that I've spoken with are very excited about you now in this leadership position after many years with the company doing many different things and doing them well. And I hope that makes you feel good that you're being welcomed with open arms.
Oh, that's great to hear. And actually, I have just big words of thank you to our dealer network. They've been resilient as we have been, and they are still there, and we just thank them and thank all our consumers.
You've had some great recent sales momentum. Already we're seeing the positive side of your leadership. You're hiring to support the business, the pioneering range extended technology coming on Jeep and Ram brands. Brag to us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Paul. Yes, actually, as you said, I've been spent 7 months being the CEO of this fantastic company. I am very confident in our people, in our brands, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and Chrysler, and in our business. And I see all the changes that I believe we must make to ensure for us and for our dealers a bright future. So that built confidence and led us to invest $13 billion in U.S., in our iconic brands, in our U.S. plants, and our incredibly talented employees. And among those investments are the one that you mentioned. So we are getting into Jeep, a large SUV, and Ram, the trucks, with a pioneeristic range-extended powertrain. That is exactly what consumers want. I believe the consumer already flagged that they want a different variety of powertrain, specifically for pickup trucks, a large SUV, they want best-in-class horsepower, best-in-class towing capability, also best-in-class fuel economy, and this new powertrain, this range-extended, call it REEV powertrain, ensure all of them. That's why, by listening to our customer and our dealers, we decided to invest into that.
We're talking with Antonio Filosa. For now 7 months, the CEO of Stellantis, his dealers are excited. We're already seeing great changes. It had to make you feel very good when the Detroit Free Press Car of the Year, Detroit News Car of the Year, Top Gear Car of the Year, the list goes on and on with that fabulous Dodge Charger multi-energy lineup and six-pack, and the return of the Hemi engine, too, to Ram, and the return of TRX. This is all good news.
Yep, you said it, Paul. So this is exactly the first step, the starting point of this $13 billion investment in the next 4 years. As I told you, we decided all together to put back the customers at the center of what we do. We listened deeply to them, and they were screaming Hemi back. They were screaming TRX back. And they wanted an internal combustion engine for our beautiful Dodge Charger. So we gave them all, and sales are picking up. As you said before, we see a Q4 of last year accelerating sale. They are up year over year, 4%. December total sales increased as well, year over year, by the same 4%. Market share grew to 8.2%. Well, this is much higher than the 7.6% in December 24. So things are happening. They are happening because we put our dealers and our customers back at the center of the way we think to our business.
He's got a master's degree in engineering. He's got an MBA in business administration. He currently lives in Michigan. A 25-year veteran of the company. Now the CEO, Antonio Filosa, and with brands that are so spectacular and still have room to be discovered by Americans, like Alfa Romeo, certainly Chrysler, Dodge, Fiat, Jeep, Maserati, Ram. You've got so many brands to work with that still have great potential in this country.
You're right, and this is one of the things that make our jobs so exciting, right? So we have Jeep, which invented SUV, right? And we have Ram, which is absolutely unstoppable in the trucks business, and Chrysler. Everything started with Chrysler, plus Dodge, our muscle car brand, and also the Italian brands that are coming to complete this lineup. Each brand, which is very iconic, has a specific space in the market, in the industry, and each brand will receive part of those investments that we announced recently, those $13 billion in the next 4 years that I was mentioning before.
It seems, Antonio, if I may call you Antonio, please call me Paul. It seems, Antonio, you have the full support of the chairman, the executive chairman, John Elkann, whose family, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember this correctly, are behind the Fiat brand in the beginning.
Yeah, yes. John Elkann, my chairman, my executive chairman, is absolutely there every time we need him. Always very supportive to the business here in the U.S., to the business in the world. And yes, his family started Fiat, right, almost 130 years ago in Italy first, and then in the world.
And you're now with some of the most iconic brands in automotive history with well over a 100-year heritage of innovating. Quick question. What role might AI and 3D printing have in car production?
Oh, yeah. Actually, AI is already working inside our people, in our business. For instance, we have applications of AI in the industrial world, in the manufacturing world, to improve efficiency and also to increase accuracy of our maintenance cycles for our robots. We have AI working with our engineers to let's say, model predictive quality improvements. So we have AI already into our business, and obviously we will double down on that, because our belief is that technology and people together working for our brand make them even greater.
Our first visit of what I hope will be many. You're always welcome here. The CEO of Stellantis, Antonio Filosa. Thank you, sir, very, very much. And thanks to all your people that helped make this happen.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's our pleasure, sir. And we wish you the greatest of luck and success as we back all of our automotive companies. And first up, all of the dealers, the first customers of all of the automotive companies. As we continue in focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. Well, that's right. Sponsored by Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Break free from January cabin fever. Cozy up at Jimmy D's restaurant and lounge for a hot corned beef, Dinty, or Reuben sandwich. Proudly serving their legendary Wiggly's corned beef sandwiches since 1987, stacked high and modestly priced. That's Jimmy D's on Grosbeck in Clinton Township. Wiggly's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Does it get any better than that? I think not, ladies and gentlemen. But here we go. It's time to speak with the guy who finally got a great new job. And he's got many hats. He has many jobs. He, of course, is the one and only Dave Rieger. Hello, David.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. It's always great to have you here, and not just because it is Friday, but it is Friday, and we appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with being happy that it's Friday. But there are some films that we probably should see or will want to see. One Kim wants to see, the one that's in theaters called Send Help.
Oh, this movie is so good. I thought it was going to be good from the trailer, and then we went and saw the movie, and yeah, it delivered for sure.
Explain to people what it's about.
So this is a story of Linda Little, played by Rachel McAdams. She's a survival enthusiast. She loves the TV show Survivor, so that's important to know, okay? And she's a longtime employee at this company, and the boss of the company, the father, passes away. Son takes over. And that's Bradley Preston, played by Dylan O'Brien. The promotion that she was promised by the father does not happen. And then he says that she has to prove herself by going on this trip to Thailand with some, because she's really good with numbers. Well, in the process of going, the plane crashes. And they are on this deserted island, and they are the only two survivors of this plane crash. And what happens is a change of power, if you will, because she, from all these years of watching Survivor, now has to take care of him because he's kind of badly injured in the, even though he lives in the plane crash. And what happens is kind of hilarious, and it's kind of a comedy. It's kind of some horror built into it. It's very well done.
It's called Send Help, and let's listen to it now.
I'm going to be frank with you. You are smart. I know that you are great with numbers, but I just don't think you got it. As an executive, I see no value in you. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry, what?
You know we have the Bangkok merger coming up. Prove me wrong. Oh, Linda, before you go, I forgot to mention I've received a few complaints about you.
Complaints?
Noxious odors. Take your seats.
How long?
Have you been out? Day and a half?
Have you tried making a distress signal?
Or a bigger fire?
I was busy trying to keep us alive.
But getting us out of here,
that should be your focus.
Not being Susie Homemaker over here.
What did you just say to me?
Let's not forget, I'm your boss. You work for me.
We're not in the office anymore, Bradley.
Yeah, so yeah. This little power shift changes. And there's also some other kind of hidden secrets that you come to find out. It's really good. Very well done. Sam Raimi directed it. You know, obviously, Wayne State University, Evil Dead. It's really good. I give it Four Wigglies. I thought I thought it was great.
Folks, you have to understand, this man can name every film that he's given four Wigglies to because there's, I think, been two before this one.
Yes. So this is the third one now as part of the Rieger Reviews It that has got the four Wigglies sandwiches.
I'll have to tell Kimberly about that because she said she wants to see Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien. She wants to see Send Help, and so we shall. Up next, one that we lived and now has turned into what must be a fabulous documentary.
Yeah, this is the Miracle of the Boys of 80, obviously with the Winter Olympics coming up. This is the story of the United States hockey team from 1980 in Lake Placid that beat the Russian team that was, they didn't think that this team could ever be defeated, and they made a Disney movie about it by the same name. This is a new documentary that Netflix dropped today with new content where they take the original players and they bring them back to the stadium where this happened 45 years later, and they have new footage and interviews. And listen, if you don't like the story, even if you're not a hockey fan or an Olympic fan, this is being a fan of America, right? I mean, this is, you know, the Miracle on Ice, the beating the Russians during the Cold War. It's just a great story and a great documentary.
Miracle, the Boys of 80. Let's listen.
The American team, they're all amateurs. The feeling was these guys have no chance.
He was going to be a runaway. That's how dominant the Soviet team was.
We needed a chance, and Herb was a perfect person.
Our approach to the game was going to be entirely different.
As a country, we needed something to feel good about.
And we were in the midst of a cold war that was about as cold as it could get.
They were the enemy. They were Darth Vader.
You're prepared all your life for this moment.
The Russians with their fur coats and the American cowboy.
We had been in big moments before, but nothing like this.
I think people related to who we were.
Somehow this band of kids came together.
We had the audacity to believe we could do it.
I thought it was impossible! This is a miracle! I can't believe it!
Yeah, this documentary was very good. Obviously, you know what people don't remember either is that the victory over the USSR was just the silver medal game.
Right, it wasn't the end of the story.
They had to go and beat Finland, and if I'm not mistaken, they were down at the beginning of that game before they came back and won. But you know, it was amateurs. You know, now the NHL sends players to the Olympics now to play.
As were the Russians at that time.
Well, they said they were amateurs, but they were not. They listed them as like soldiers or students, but they were professional players. And absolutely, that's why they had won every gold medal before then, since like 1960, which was the last time that the United States won the gold medal before winning in 1980.
How many Wigglies for the Boys of 80?
This one gets 3.5 Wigglies. It's really good. It's real good. I think, I mean, obviously the movie Miracle was really good, but this documentary kind of just takes you behind the scenes a little bit more and focuses on their coach and how Herb Brooks put this all together.
All right, quickly, any news on Lindsey Vonn getting injured this morning and her chances of being in the Olympics were being questioned?
That I don't know. I'm a big fan of Lindsey Vonn. Hopefully she's okay. I know she's had some injuries before, so.
Yeah, she sure has, and that was a big deal. They were overcoming it. That's it, Dave Rieger. Rieger Reviews It. And thanks to the team, Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Marie Osborne, Ann Thomas, Kim Smith, and all the other people that work behind the scenes to make our show possible. But now, ladies and gentlemen, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Ryan Ermani. Happy birthday to you.
You guys are really something special, let me tell you. A little duet, huh?
Well, I wasn't expecting a duet, but I'm glad we had one. So there we are. Happy birthday, birthday boy. We'll be listening and stand by for news and JR Afternoon with the birthday boy, Ryan Ermani. Regards, Paul W. Smith.